I want to talk to you about overt acts, motivators, and the dead. Although you will find the sequence I described to you invariable, the conditions resulting from it are quite complex. There are three circumstances. An individual has something done to him, and then he turns around and does it to somebody else, or something else. And then he says, I shouldn't do that. So he holds himself from doing it again, and he brings the first time it happened to him and the time he did it close together. And they wind up in a ball, no matter whether they're 10 billion years apart or 10 minutes apart. They'll wind up. One is the motivator, the next is the overt act. The same, similar efforts. A person receives an effort, and he thinks he ought to be able to use any effort he has received. We get this sort of a situation here. I showed you the dish and the tennis ball. Circumstance here. In comes this effort. Now, if it comes in and hits him, he makes a facsimile of it. He feels he should be able to put that facsimile into play at any time. And so one day, he starts to put this into play, and we finish the cycle, and gets there, and he says, no. And when he says no there, he says no there. In other words, he stops the thing coming in and going out if he stops it going out. Why? Because when it was a counter effort, he stopped it and tried to stop it from coming in. So what does he use to stop it from going out? The same force that he used to keep it from going in. So this one, as it starts in here at the top, it's coming toward him. This is earlier on the track. This is the motivator. And this, of course, is antipathetic to his survival, being a heavy counter effort. And as it comes in, he says, no, 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 you must not come in. And he tries to force it and keep it from coming in, but it comes in anyhow, and he makes facsimiles of it coming in and his stopping it and his being unable to stop it. He makes a facsimile of every sequence of the entrance to him of this counter effort. Now, once upon a time, or a little bit later, then upon a time, he will say that this is a similar situation. I'm going to do it to somebody else. I want to put this person in apathy, he'll say, and here's a facsimile of a good, strong counter-effort. I'll give him this good, strong counter-effort, and he'll start to give him this good, strong counter-effort, and you'll get a co-generation of energy there, and he'll say all of a sudden, I don't want to put him into apathy, really. Because he is me, and I am him, because here it's happening to him, and it happened to me, so therefore, I must be the same as him. And this is very simple and very sensible. You'll find all people who get motivators and try to use them as overt acts come to this conclusion that I am he, until they get a cross identification across the whole human race. They think everybody is them, and they pick up everybody's facsimiles, and they pick up all sorts of re-stimulation. They don't pick up anybody's facsimiles. That's a very special activity. You can grab somebody's facsimile, but you're not grabbing his facsimile at all. You're taking a photograph of his facsimile, or you're pushing him through his own facsimile. You're not taking his facsimile. It's the same difference. Now, therefore, people, when they have lots of motivators, which they've tried to use as overt acts, will eventually come to the conclusion that they and the rest of the human race are the same person. In other words, their own individuation is squashed. Why is it squashed? In comes the counter-effort. They stop the counter-effort coming in. They make a facsimile of it. They start to use it one day. They want to put somebody into apathy or put somebody out of action or nullify them. Something is happening. So they take this thing that happened to them and they say, here it goes, and start to use it. and they find the other person putting up the same resistance they put up, which identifies them with the other person because of an interchange of energy. There's an actual energy flow, and this other person says, no, no, no. The person who's doing it to them feels, no, 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 as an energy flow, not the words or anything. There's an actual energy kickback. And the second this kickback hits, it re-stimulates very mechanically the other side of this motivator. So it makes the person who is doing the overt act the same as the victim. It gives him a confusion of identity. And the second he gets this confusion of identity, he says, no, 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 I mustn't do this to me. And so he holds it up. And he tries to say, I didn't do it. And he tries to pull it back. He gets regret. Regret is the action of trying to make time run backwards. And so he holds it up. And here it was on the way out, but here's the facsimile now which is holding it up. Who's he? Is he the person who is holding it up or the person who is putting it out? Well, he must be both people. Well, if he's both people, then he can feel sympathy for the person he was doing it to. But of course, if he feels sympathy for the person he was doing it to, this makes him the same as the person he was doing it to, because anything you feel sympathy for, you identify with yourself. So it becomes an immediately unsolvable situation unless you have the reduction and erasure techniques of processing, Dianetic processing. If you have these techniques, you're going to resolve this. It couldn't be resolved before. So there we are. The overt act here becomes involved with the motivator there. The two of them lock together and make maybe. The person hangs up then on the time track. That's a standard situation. When you try to take apart a balled up time track or a balled up situation or a compulsive thought level or inhibitive thought level, you'll find a motivator and an overt act, one way or the other, mixed up at the bottom of this thing. You'll find them interlocked. You start to run a pre-clear through one. You start to run him through this. You say, ah, now he got a nice bop on the E-meter, and the E-meter says that he did this, and it was at such and such a date. You've gotten all this off the E-meter. You've asked it if it was so many years ago, and it was this and that, and you've got the complexion of this overt act. Who did he do it to? What did he do it to? And you start to run it. And so he goes through the action. By the way, it's very amusing to make people go through these overt acts sometimes, because as they start to go through them, they get just weak. They go into their own apathy level. If they're a severe overt act, let's say you're running an overt act of somebody choking somebody. And you say, well, go ahead now, take your hands and choke somebody. And the fellow will start at the first moment of it. He'll say, well, yeah. He says, it's funny, my arms feel all limp. Well, the odd part of it is he's trying to force somebody into apathy if he's choking somebody. And so this person is actually exuding an apathy wave because he's trying to force the person into apathy. He's saying, go into apathy, go into apathy. Don't act, don't act, don't move, be still. And as he does this, his intention matches the return wave. See how that is? I mean, he says, go into apathy, go into apathy. So the person goes into apathy, and then all of a sudden emanates the wavelength of apathy. Very simple. So the apathy wave hits the person who is doing it and makes him feel weak, because that's apathy. But the second he feels weak, he says, it must be happening to me. Because how did he feel when it was done to him and the motivator? Weak, in apathy. Now, he wanted the answer to this problem. Here's another being. I want to put this other being into apathy. How am I going to put this other being into apathy? I have a very sure method of doing so. I was put into apathy once by being choked. Therefore, the way to put this person into apathy is choke him. Simple solution. So he chokes him. His intention is to put the person into apathy. The person exudes apathy. Apathy comes back at him. He says, therefore, I must be in the motivator. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm in the overt. No, I must be in the motivator. And that's the way it acts in auditing. So you run it through once. You make this fellow choke somebody. He chokes him again. He says, I feel hands around my throat. Well, there's something else complicates it. It's an actual fact that his hands closed around this person's throat. It made the cells, an area of this throat, actually exude an area of pain. And because they are the cells of the throat, they will mirror a wave into the cells of his throat. You know, the victim's throat starts to emanate pain. What's the most likely thing to pick it up? The identical cells in the overt act person's throat. That's a very, very mild little manifestation. That's tiny. That isn't big. The mechanics of it are the fact that he thinks, because he feels this slight impulse, he says, uh-oh, it's happening to me again. I am the victim. No, I'm not. I'm the person who's doing it. I'm the victim. No, I was the victim. No. He doesn't know, because he starts going down tone scale. Why doesn't he know? Because the bottom level of the motivator, when it happened to him, was, I don't know. So he just says, he just doesn't know what's happening. It's very confused. You start to run him through, you make him choke this person. And you go through the axe choking somebody, and he feels all weak, and he starts to choke somebody, and he goes on and starts to cut off their head with an axe or something. And says, oh, I don't want to do that. I wouldn't do that. And you make him go through it, and he said, all of a sudden he says, gee, my neck, blood feels horrible. Got a smack. Well, now, you can go on forcing him to choke somebody, but you're actually, to some degree, defeating your own purpose. I ran some clinical experiments on this to find out if you could run overt acts through just by running overt acts through. And it's pretty hard to do. It will happen, but the person insists on running the motivator, running the time it happened to him. So the fastest way to do it, and the way to do it now, according to procedure, according to test, is you run him choking somebody, and then you run him being choked. You run him being choked himself until such time as you find it getting very sticky indeed. You know, slows down, starts to be hard to audit. The first moment it starts to get hard to audit, make him choke the other person. And he starts choking the other person, and make him choke the other person until that gets a little bit hard to audit, and then get him choked himself. And you're reducing them selectively, each one to each one's level. And if you run one of these overt act motivator ball-ups on the track that way, you'll find out that you'll get a very speedy reduction. They're very fast to reduce then. So you don't have to work on it for hours and hours and hours.